So good morning. Welcome to New Sharon Assembly of God. My name is Pastor Mike, and I want you to know that we are very elated that you are here today. We're excited that you chose to join us. We're excited that God wanted you to be here today. We're in our third week of our sermon series, Life of David, 3 out of 6. And today we're going to look at David's passion for worshiping God. It is David's praise that we're going to look at. And today I hope that we're going to be challenged with how we should have the same passion worshiping God as David had worshiping God. And today's sermon title is titled, Heart of Worship. Now, did everybody get the scripture that I had printed? And did everybody get a note card? Okay. You'll need those today, and you'll find out at the end why you need them, but trust me, this is in-class homework that you'll want to do in class. A.W. Tozer says of worship, what is worship? Worship is to feel in your heart and express in some appropriate manner a humbling but delight sense of admiring awe and astonished wonder and overpowering love in the presence of that most ancient mystery, that majesty which philosophers call the first cause, but which we call our Father which are in heaven. This is so eloquently put it. I can't write words like that and make it sound all eloquent. A.W. Tozer, I love when he talks. It is a humbling but delightful sense of admiring awe, an astonished wonder, an overpowering love in the presence of our Father which art in heaven. To set up our scripture today, I want to set the scene a little bit. We're going to go back a couple of chapters, and in case you don't know, I have our main scripture right here. It's 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 4 through 36. Have that ready. And also, there's pens in the seats in front of you. Grab a pen because you're going to need it here shortly. And so let me set up today's scripture a little bit. If we go back a couple of chapters to chapter 13, what we see is David taking it upon himself to move the Ark of the Covenant. So he talked to a few guys and said, do you think it's right? Do you think it's right? Yeah, let's move it. So they go, they get the Ark of the Covenant, and they put it on a cart. Mistake number one. They started hauling the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. And I got to make sure I'm not skipping my notes here. So let's talk about what the Ark of the Covenant is. The Ark of the Covenant is where the Lord's presence sat. Okay, it's where the tablets are and Aaron's staff. And the Ark was a very important item for the Israelites. And it's how God's presence was represented among men. David wanted the Ark back in Jerusalem. And so they threw it on a cart. They started hauling it towards Jerusalem. And essentially what happens, the hay rack hit a pothole. If you've ever loaded hay and you don't load it properly, what happens when that hay rack hits a pothole? You're restacking hay, right? Ask me how I know. And so what happened is the Ark of the Covenant started to fall off. And Uzzah decided, I'll reach out and I'll catch it. I'll stop the Ark of the Covenant. And what happened is that the anger of the Lord burned against Uzzah, and Uzzah lost his life because he touched the Ark of the Covenant, not in a way that was prescribed because, well, one, we're not holy. And that's where the holy presence of God sits. So go forward now to chapter 16. Some time transpires, and David has taken it on again and prepared to complete the task of bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. This time, he does things a little bit different. Instead of bringing it on a cart, he calls on the priests, the Levites. He brings in all the different tribes of Israel, and they actually transported the Ark the correct way, the way that God told Moses to set it up, and that was with poles. So they actually transported it the way that God designed it and wanted it to be moved. And David goes to all the work to get all the animals for the sacrifices. He has the the Levites with their trumpets. He's got the Levites carrying it. And it is a grand parade marching towards Jerusalem as they're bringing the cart, or bringing the ark. They left the cart at home this time. Bringing the ark back into Jerusalem. And so what we'll see in our reading today is David's song of praise. So this is his song of praise that I've handed out to you today. David used this form of praise and thanksgiving to celebrate God, to celebrate God's mercy, and to celebrate God's wonderful acts for the nation of Israel. Now, while I read this, I decided that this was a really long scripture. It was going to take like 10 screens to fit it on over here. And, well, it's a lot, and I don't want you to tune out. But if you do tune out from when I'm reading it, you have a note card. Here's what the note cards are for today. The note card is for you in a few words or a couple of sentences to write down something that you can praise God for. Write something that you can praise Him for. It may be something that you hear that triggers a thought as I read the scripture. It may be something completely on your own. But here's what you need to know. Write it down. We'll come back to that later. Amen? Yeah. Let's get to our scripture this morning. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, 4 through 36. Let me read it from my Bible, because just holding the piece of paper feels a little bit weird when I have my Bible right here. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. This is in the English Standard Version. And verses 4 through 36. Then he being David, appointed some of the Levites as ministers before the ark of the Lord to invoke, to thank, and to praise the Lord, the God of Israel. Asaph was the chief, and second to him was Zechariah, Jael, Shemarmoth. I had all of these memorized, and it's just Jehiel, Mattatiah, Eliab, Benani, Obed-Edom, and Jael, who were to play harps and lyres. Asaph was to sound the cymbals, and Benaniah and Jehaziel, the priest, were to blow trumpets regularly before the Ark of the Covenant of God. Then on that day, David first appointed that thanksgiving to be sung by the Lord, by Asaph and his brothers. And now verse 8, David's song of thanks. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him, sing praises to Him, tell of all His wondrous works. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that He has done, His miracles and the judgments He uttered. O offspring of Israel, His servant, children of Jacob, His chosen ones. He is the Lord, our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember His covenant forever, the word that He commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant that He made with Abraham, His sworn promise to Jacob, which He confirmed, or His sworn promise to Isaac, which He confirmed to Jacob as a statute to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as your portion for an inheritance. Verse 19, when you were few in number, of little account, and sojourners in it, wandering from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people, He allowed no one to oppress them. He rebuked kings on their account, saying, touch not my anointed ones, do my prophets no harm. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works amongst all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him, strength and joy are in His place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. And let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Verse 32. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Verse 35, say also, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather and deliver us from among the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said, amen, and praise the Lord. Can we get a big hearty amen this morning? Thank you for sticking that out with me. I know that was long scripture. But this is David's song of praise here. And we see all kinds of things, but he never leaves the fact that we are praising God. We're not praising situations. We're praising the God of those situations. We are praising and worshiping God of all creation. I wonder this morning, what does our praise look like? What does it look like when we praise? Did you know it's different today than it was in the Old Testament? In the Old Testament, the priests were the only ones who could do things like lead praise. While in the New Testament and today, true Jesus followers are considered priests of God. That comes from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 5. You can write that down and look at it later, but let me read it to you. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We are a holy priesthood. Therefore, because of 1 Peter chapter 2, what 1 Peter is talking about, we are authorized and we are responsible to offer praise, worship, and thanksgiving to God. Not only are we able to, we must. We must praise God like David, not just through our words, but also through our actions. I started by saying the most important thing you can do every week is to join the church and to worship God in one. While we don't take away from that, the difference is I said worship. Praise. Praise is not a once-a-week experience. Praise is not something we do once. Rather, praise is how we live our lives every day. Praise is how we live. When we live in such a way that brings honor to God, then our worship, our praise, becomes an acceptable sacrifice to Him. What does that mean? That means that our praise of God is authentic. It's from our heart. Go back to the sermon title, Heart of Worship. It comes from the heart. Our praise of God is only pleasing as long as we are genuinely committed to God's Word and not conformed to this world. You'll notice in David's song of praise that he does a lot of thanking God. He speaks of the wondrous things that God has done. He speaks of the promise to Abraham and how it was recommitted and made as a statute for all of Israel. He praised God for their salvation, and he ended it with blessing God's name. I want to encourage all of us here today to know this. And if you don't know this, you're about to know this. We have many reasons to praise the Lord. We have many reasons to praise the Lord. I'm not just talking about Sunday morning congregational worship where we put a smile on and no matter how hard life was this week, oh, I had a good week. Listen, we're talking about praise. And we're talking about when we express to God that we are aware of His presence in all of our life. For all of our life. to celebrate the magnificence of who He is. This is praise. We praise God because we've experienced God's love and His powerful work in our lives. So this is why when we talk about communion, and I said if you don't have a relationship, just skip this for today, it's okay. Because without a relationship with Jesus, you really have no idea why us Christians like to praise the Lord. Because we know what we have been saved from. We know what Jesus died on the cross for us for. My story is going to be completely different than every one of your stories, but I know what Jesus saved me from. Think of this. He's given us forgiveness. He's given us salvation. He's given us personal companionship. He's given us abundant grace. And He's given us unconditional love all through the work of the cross of Jesus Christ. We praise God for specific times. Maybe He's delivered us from something. Maybe it's an addiction that He's delivered us from, or we've been in a bad situation. He's pulled us out and rescued us from that. Maybe He's healed us. Do you know that we don't only praise the Lord in our desperation? Are our lips as willing to praise the Lord when life couldn't get any better? When we're on top of the mountain, we're doing everything right. We praise God for His continual care and provision, both physically and spiritually. Now, this is not an exhaustive list, obviously, but all of these reasons are a motivation for praising the Lord. All of these reasons, we should be able to find a reason to praise the Lord with our song. Maybe it is singing. For people like me, it's singing in the car when nobody else is with. It could be sharing your testimony. Because what does David say? He says, tell all the nations amongst all the peoples what the Lord has done. It's through witnessing. And honestly, it's through serving God. It's for putting and putting forth your best effort in serving God, who is honored above all else. So, Johnny, you're serving the Lord this morning, right? Our Sunday school teachers, you served the Lord this morning. Worship team, you served the Lord this morning. You praised the Lord this morning. Now, we can agree that there's several reasons that we have to praise God. Did you know that there's several methods of praising God? Anyone know that? Yeah, I hope so. Worship in the church, like we did this morning. That's community praise. We can praise the Lord as a congregation. But alongside church worship, there's worship that happens outside of the church. There's the worship that comes from your heart when you don't have a band playing, when you don't have a worship leader singing with you, when you don't have the lights turned down about 50% so you can raise your hands without anybody looking at you weird. Listen, it's what you do on your own. It's what happens in private. This is also can be praise. It's singing of songs. It's maybe reading out loud books of or chapters from Psalms. It could be through spiritual songs by the Holy Spirit. Did you know there's something called musical praise through instruments? Joel's smiling. Joel's probably one of the most gifted musicians we have in here this morning. Put me on drums, I can just tap my foot to keep the beat. So if you ever need that, Joel, I'm available, right? That's about as good as I get. But you can praise God through instruments. We can communicate God's praise by telling others of His wonderful works. Has He saved you for much? Do you have wonderful works to talk about then? Do you have wonderful things to share with others? We can share about experiencing God's forgiveness. We can share what He pulled us from. We know if we look at Psalms chapter 51, we're not going to go to it, but write it down. You can go read it later. We know from Psalms 51 that David was eager to tell others about what the Lord had done for him. He was eager to tell everybody about the Lord. We just saw it in 1 Chronicles. David in his song was talking about sharing with all the nations. Trying to find it here quick. We read it. Sharing through all the nations of the wonderful works. Right here, verse 8. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. His wonderful works. Make it known. We also see it in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Peter calls on us to declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wondrous light. In other words, we should be thinking right now, missional work. What is missional work? Missional work is bringing Christ's message to our family, to our neighbors, to our co-workers, to different peoples, different cultures, sharing the message, gospel message of Jesus Christ is a way to praise the Lord. Thank you. Did anybody else struggling? I can repeat it all. You got to make light of the things, otherwise they get in your way. So, listen. Lastly, living for God's glory and honor is a way to praise the Lord. What does this mean? What does living for God mean? That means we're staying as far away from sin as we can. If I leave here today and I see one of you in the store, I'm buying a 12-pack of Bud Light and I've got curse words flying off my tongue, what does my message say about Jesus Christ? That it's had zero impact on my life. When you're out in the community, when you're out in Walmart by yourself. Listen, we were on a cruise 3 weeks ago. I used to say this all the time in high school. You can't leave Iowa without seeing somebody from Iowa. Did you know that I couldn't get on that stinking cruise without somebody being on that cruise that we know? Family, no less. Alicia's cousin and her family decided to cruise. And so out of 5,000 people, we bumped into them just about every day. I don't know that I saw another person twice on that cruise, but we saw them every single day, and it was not intentional. So anyways, the way you live matters. Do you have Facebook? It matters. Dave's chuckling. If you have TikTok, it matters. When you're around the water cooler at work, what you say, what you do, it matters. How are we living our life? Is our life pointing others to Jesus Christ? Because if it's not, we should probably rethink and add that into our toolbox of abilities, of being able, rather, to praise the Lord and bring honor to His name. See, when we practice praise through the methods, and we praise for all the reasons, so we put all these methods together and all the reasons that we have, we fulfill what Jesus was referring to in John chapter 4, which is on the overhead behind me. And it says this, "But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." Jesus is not referring to a place of worship. It is not a place. It's not a location of worship. Rather, what He is referring to is a spiritual attitude towards worship. The words "in spirit" here, it refers to the depth of where true worship comes from. And where does true worship come from? From your heart. True worship comes from the heart. True worship will reflect godly character. It will reflect a deep devotion to God. And in this, we are offering ourselves. When we get to that spot where we are truly worshiping the Lord, we are offering ourselves to Him in a complete openness and with the willingness to be led by the Holy Spirit to praise Him more. So, are you singing songs? Or like David, do you have a heart of worship? Is what you do on Sunday morning and throughout the week lip service? Or are you praising God from the abundance of your heart? If we know anything about David, we know this. We know that he praised God in all situations. Read about David, you'll see it all throughout Scripture. In his desperate situations, to his joyful occasions, to his lowest lows or his valleys, to his highest of highs, his mountains, David praised God. Did you know we can do the same? We have the same ability to praise God. We can praise God in our sorrow. We can praise God in our loss. We can praise God in our pain. We can praise God in our desperation. But we can also praise God in our success. We can praise God in our joy. We can praise God in our hope. What is our hope? Our hope is with Him in eternity, right? This is the hope. We can praise God for our victories in life. We can praise God for His grace, for His mercy, for His salvation. Literally, we can praise God in any and all situations. Why? Because His Spirit never leaves you. Doesn't matter how desperate it is or how hopeful it is, His presence never leaves you. So we all have a reason to praise. The community must see a church that is praising God. This community must see a church that is praising God. The same way that I hope that we're encouraged to praise God the way that David did, I hope that the community can be encouraged to praise God because of how we're praising God. Because at the end of the day, praising God makes engaging our community for Jesus that much easier. It's a lot easier when they know that we believe and we praise God versus, who's this God you worship? Because I don't ever see you praising Him. And so it just makes it so much easier. We're going to do things a little bit differently today. Don't get up and run away. Stay around because I think this is going to be really cool. But I want to start with saying this. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus and you haven't experienced forgiveness of your sins, if you've never received His salvation, you probably sat here today and heard all this and thought, well, none of this applies to me. I don't have a relationship with Jesus. I don't get why you guys are talking about praising God. You don't understand why Christians are praising God and why we're talking about trying to praise Him more and from the abundance of our heart the way David did. I want you to know that today you can experience what we experienced, and then you can have a reason to praise. A relationship with Jesus is the only way to receive forgiveness of sins. It is the only way to be with the Father. It is the only way to have salvation, and it is the only way to spend eternity in heaven. No one comes to the Father except through me, which is Jesus. So I'm not going to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I told you we were doing things differently today. But this is something that you can do on your own. Because guess what? I did it in my apartment by myself. I didn't have some church pastor telling me what to say, and I wasn't in this moment of conviction from a sermon. It was God's Spirit present with me in my apartment that called me to repentance. And so it's through a simple prayer like this. You can make it your own, but it's key that you ask Jesus for forgiveness of your sins. So it could be something like that. Jesus, I am sorry for my sins. I believe you died on Calvary's cross so I can be free from sin. Cleanse me and come into my life as Lord and Savior right now. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. That's it. It's pretty simple, isn't it? So, for any of you that said that prayer for the first time and meant it, you now have a reason to praise. If this is blank, I'd recommend salvation. Write it on that paper. Here's how we're going to close today. If you didn't write anything on that note card, I'd encourage you to do so now. But here's how we're going to close. You all have had this note card since the beginning of service. I joked with some of you and said there's a pop quiz. I joked with some of you and said you were going to be the first one I called on. I had two people tell me they were walking out of here if I did that. So I almost went home and got chains to lock the doors. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to have an opportunity to praise God. We're going to have an opportunity to share our praises and praise God together.